Morning, I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, welcome all who are joining us online who are gathered with us here at the building. We do have visitors in our assembly here at the building this morning, and we're delighted that you have come. Our country is thinking about its history this July 4th weekend. The history that unites God's people, the history that unites the Annandale Church, is His story, the story of God. Ephesians blesses us with information concerning God and His story, and speaks of our place in His story. The God who inhabits eternity in eternity purposed a story that He began revealing in time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to reveal and fulfill and accomplish God's eternal purpose. Ephesians speaks to who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and how you and me can be and are part of His story. The story of God is still being written. The theme of His story has been revealed. God wants a family. He wants His family to look like His firstborn, Jesus. He wants His family to be impossible to number. A family of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. A family of men and women who hear His story and choose to be a part of it. A part of His family. A part of Him. Fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel as revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Using the ones of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 as a template, let us ask the question this morning, how will our sharing in His story, how will that read when our lives are over? For the sake of time, I will not be drawing attention to every verse that I'm going to use this morning. But I'm also not going to do that by way of an encouragement to all of us to read the book of Ephesians again and to examine ourselves as we read in light of these questions. How will our part, our sharing in His story read when our lives are over? Number one, will we as the Annandale body walk worthily of our heavenly calling with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Number two, will we be filled with the one Spirit, rejoicing in His protection, His assurance, His revelation, depending on being strengthened with might through Him in our inner man, conducting ourselves in ways that do not grieve Him, but praying always with all prayer and supplication in Him as He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Number three, will we hold on to the one hope of our calling? Christ in us, individually and collectively, the hope of glory. The confident expectation that our hope in Him will not be disappointed, because the love of God is continually being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Number four, will we continue to belong to the one Lord, the Lord of Lords, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word become flesh? Or will we seek to be free of Him and return to the bondage of sin and death, becoming once again slaves of sin, choosing to live lives that lead to death instead of everlasting life? Number five, will we abide in the one faith? The faith once delivered by the one Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, believing and trusting in the sufficiency of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, to inform our understanding of all things that pertain to life and godliness? Or will we walk according to the ever-changing course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience to deceive and tempt and lead us away from one another, to lead us away from the Holy Spirit, to lead us away from our hope, to lead us away from our Jesus? Number six, will we compromise the truth of the one baptism? Or will we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and in the power of His might, taking up the whole armor of God, that we might stand against the schemes of the devil to twist the Scriptures concerning baptism? To twist the Scriptures concerning baptism to the destruction of those who need and are in need of having their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Number seven, will we honor our God and Father, the true and living God, the one Father of all who is above all and in all? Or will we individually and or collectively bring shame and dishonor to the Father of glory, who blesses us daily with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in His beloved Son, in our Jesus, in whom He has adopted us into His family, accepting us in Jesus, in the beloved, redeeming us through the self-sacrifice of the only begotten, that we might be gathered together as one, as an inheritance, as a heritage to the Father, as an inheritance, as a heritage, as His family. Jesus is described as the master teacher and one of the most effective methods of His teaching was His ability to ask questions that would challenge those to whom the questions were posed to think. To take the words that He spoke to them and to meditate on them, to revolve them around in their minds, for the purpose of understanding and experiencing and approving. God help us as we read His book, His scriptures, His holy scriptures, to hear the voice of our Jesus ask us these questions, and to recognize that by His grace, because of His great love and the mercy that He has shown us, He has given us the blessed opportunity to be a part of His story. His story is still being written, but the end is sure. Then comes the end when Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren, delivers the Spirit-filled sons and daughters of God to the Father in heaven, putting an end to all rule and all authority and all power, where we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. Until He comes again, how shall we live? And how will our history read when our lives are over? Our part in His story will read well, if and only if we strengthen ourselves in the Lord Jesus and in the power of His might, daily putting on the whole armor of God, praying in the Spirit, living in His love, His light, and His wisdom, walking worthy of His calling, His heavenly calling, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, carrying out the Great Commission in our generation to the glory of our God and Father, all the while continuing to learn Christ, hearing Him, being taught by Him as the truth is in Him, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, being renewed in the spirit of our minds, praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know, that we would understand, that we would experience the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of His power toward those who believe, toward us, His beloved children. Let us read Ephesians and be encouraged that there is a God in whom we live and move and have our very being. And in eternity, He purposed an eternal purpose that He has begun working out in time, from a point in time that He reveals to us in Genesis 1:1 as in the beginning. And by His grace, because of His great love for us and the mercy that we've been shown in Jesus, we have a role to play in His story. As we turn our attention to the supper now, to the supper of our Lord, to the supper that belongs to the Lord, the Lord's supper. Our great God and Father, who has adopted us into His family, who has accepted us in the beloved, has only done that because of the self-sacrifice that Jesus didn't just make at Calvary, but that He made in eternity. In eternity, God purposed this eternal purpose in which He would reconcile all things to Himself through one. And of the Godhead, it was the Word who became flesh, who became that one. The sacrifice that the Word made so that He could fulfill God's eternal purpose to the extent that we might become a part of it. is a sacrifice that I cannot even begin to wrap my mind around, because I don't know what it's like to go from being what I am to being something else. And that is precisely what John 1:14 says to us about the Word. He was the God who inhabited eternity, whose name was holy. And in time, He became one of us so that we could become fellow heirs and fellow members and fellow partakers. That's how much God loves you. That He would send His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever, male or female, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we gather together on the Lord's day, the day in which He overcame sin and death, the day that He rose from the dead. We come together upon the first day of the week to celebrate His self-sacrifice, His death, so that we might live. And what this supper does for all of us individually and for Annandale Church collectively is it puts things in perspective. This is His story. And we're only part of it because of His grace. Let us live lives that reflect our understandings. Let us live lives that bring glory to our God and Father, to our Lord Jesus, to our Comforter, to our Helper, the Holy Spirit.